Dave Pullen in studio to kick off the hour.
Here to congratulate O, actually.
How about that?
Just congratulations. Flat out congratulations.
Huge effort. Four pounds, man. He's moving.
What did the text say from the trainer, Andrew?
Well, I don't want to say his full name because his reputation is on the line here.
Exactly. What if you...
Okay, his first name's Andrew.
Yeah, he sent me... he said, hey, Brian, it's Andrew, Jeff's personal trainer, as if I was going to think it was somebody else. His weight today was 263.2 pounds, down 4.2 pounds in 2 weeks. Very precise. Very precise.
A lot of heat on Andrew.
That is.
Well, that's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
He came back at 270.
Trust me, I felt it before that number was coming up. I'm like, he's going to be pissed, too. Because the days I'm not with him, he gives me the workout, like with YouTube videos, the whole nine. It's all very well done. And if I don't do it, I know he's going to say, you haven't been doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all the heat's on the conditioning guy. No question. We had a conditioning coach in Philadelphia, kind of a legendary guy, Pat Croce was his name, who ended up going on and owning the 76ers. He went from being the conditioning coach to owning the team.
Wow.
Great story.
How'd he pull that off?
He was a physical therapist, athletic trainer who built a business outside of when he was working with us. And he built rehab centers and then partnered with doctors, built it into an empire, sold it to a huge conglomerate, made a couple $100 million and bought the Sixers.
Wow.
Unreal story.
So he's with the Sixers, but still in a conditioning coach capacity. He was both ours and they won the NBA championship in 83. In 84, they had the fourth overall pick in the draft because they'd made a trade. They wanted Charles Barkley. So they sent Croce down to see Barkley. And then they brought Barkley up. He was 310 pounds in college at Auburn, the round mound of rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to him, Croce pulled him aside, and he's trying to, you know, build a relationship with him. He says, look, they're going to take you fourth overall here. They're a championship team. You could win championships. You know, Dr. J and Moses Malone, all these guys. You got to lose 10 pounds before the draft to show us you're serious about basketball.
You put on 10?
Chuck said, I went home and ate everything in sight. I did not want to go to Philly.
Well, it didn't work. They took him anyway.
But he was at like 265 when he was winning the rebounding championships. And he's not, he's 6'4 and a half.
He's not a tall guy. Like he is, relatively speaking, but not in the NBA.
No.
He's like, it's like Draymond Green. Because the NBA has implemented a new rule where it's no more doctoring heights.
So you got to be true.
You actually, there's got to be witnesses there. No
shoes on.
So what's
Draymond coming in at?
Draymond's at 6'5 now.
Well, I believe. Remember in junior hockey when you were doing a height? I would height, like everyone was standing on their toes.
Right on
everybody
the toes.
Everybody was.
Stand on their toes, and if you were a light guy, guys were putting weights in their pockets.
Oh. Yeah, every time. Every time. But now I guess he's at 6'5, where I believe he used to be listed at like 6'8 or 6'9.
Right.
So he's really 6'5".
Well, you shrink as you get older.
But I don't know why it would matter. You're already, you know, like an all-defensive player, champion. Yeah. Who cares? You know, you're 6'5".
And when people meet you, they sort of know right away, don't they?
Right. And you're a giant to anybody you meet for the most part. 6'5", 6'8", you're still going to be perceived as a pretty big guy.
So, what time of the day did you weigh in?
10 a.m.
And did you have a single ounce of anything before that?
Two cups of coffee. My workout was garbage because I had no energy. I was starving.
I always work out on an empty stomach.
What did you eat after the weigh-in?
I just had a smoothie and then kind of standard lunch. Nothing
spectacular.
Well, this nonsense that came in here after.
Domino's here.
I don't even want to eat anything bad this weekend because I already feel bad.
Yeah, we got Domino's.
I had four pieces. I was starving.
I've been eating a lot. A lot. And we got a lot to eat this weekend, right? With Thanksgiving.
It's a big weekend.
Yeah, it's a big weekend.
Jamie, what is your... do you have any issues? Have you ever worried about a weigh-in at any point?
Yes, because I was skinny fat. So you always... I wasn't worried about the weigh-in as much as the body fat because I always struggled to just be... I was just 10. And you hit double digits, you're in the fat farm. You know, they make you ride the bike.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Mike Keenan's making you ride at 12% back then.
Right. So now when I was my recent, like I say, last five or six years, if you were at 10, if you were 10.1, you were perceived in the fat farm. So you'd have to do everything and then ride an extra 30 minutes. If you were 9.9, it was single digits. So I was always 9.2, 9.6. My lowest, I think, was 8.4. Like I was a guy, you know, and I would work out hard. It was the summer I worked out with Aginla, and we worked out with a runner, a running coach, and he was fantastic. We were a lot leaner and stronger, but, you know, I liked back then. My calories was vodka and stuff like that. Late night pizza. Mm-hmm.
But you had to picture guys when they did the body fat thing with the calipers, and the guys would be leaning way over.
Oh
to
yeah,
try
and, you know, and you're fighting with the caliper person. And
well, we were talking about yesterday when Max Domi was in studio with us, and he admitted that he didn't pick up a weight all summer.
No, it's all body.
All he does is run and swim and body jump weight. And body yeah. weight. And
when I tried to make a comeback in Carolina, I thought long and hard about just offering the lady $20,000 to give me under 10%. Like, just here's $20,000. I'll give you $20,000.
You buy a new set of calipers.
Yeah, I don't know.
That number, the calipers for me was always the most nervous thing coming to training camp. And it was that last 2 weeks you would drain yourself of sugar, and it wasn't going on slim fast diet, but it was damn near that.
Did either of you guys play with Dougie Crossman anywhere?
I did. I played in the minors with him.
Speaking of skinny fat, right?
Well, everything with him was about time.
Yeah.
He would get frustrated that that warm-up was 20 minutes back then. He's like, you don't need 20 minutes. You need 12 minutes.
But he was the ultimate skinny fat guy, and he would come in, and he'd blow over by like 1.5%. And he'd look at me, and he'd say, "Pooh, I had one brownie last night." I'd say, I don't think it was the one brownie.
Yeah, I don't really think that was the problem.
I think there was some other components involved here.
You've been off all summer.
He could have been in the Olympic bike contest. He was on that bike so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You were in Montreal last night.
I was.
We've been talking about the mood in Toronto. You think it's any different in Montreal?
It was pretty good going into the game last night and not as good after the game. And that was the first flat game they've had. They've played with pretty good pace. I did Carolina, and that was a lightning fast game. Like, unbelievable for first game of the year. And then their next two games, Toronto and Buffalo, spread apart. I think the opening ceremonies took a lot of life out of that building last night.
Forever.
They passed that torch 26 times. I mean, 26 times. They had 26 guys dressed. They had even the non-starters and the injured guys dressed.
I hate those.
Even the cheering crescendo, it started really high. And then about the eighth guy, they're like, yay. And then, and by the last guy, when Carey Price, they saved him for last, and they couldn't even cheer for him. They were so tired of cheering. You know, it was 7 or 8 minutes into the cheering. And I just think it took a lot of the life out of the building, and Detroit ate it up. Detroit's got that one line now that's clicking on every cylinder.
Right. You know? Well, the division is completely out of whack based on projections before the season began, which was a week ago. I mean, it's not like we're sitting here in the new year.
Yeah, but 5 or 6 games in, coaches really start to worry. They don't like to see trends, and now they're seeing trends.
Okay, in the Atlantic, which coach is panicking the most?
Q, maybe.
Yeah, they got 2 points. I mean, Florida's 1-2.
They're 1-2, but I mean, it's the way. I still think Florida will be a playoff team. They'll be fine, but. You know, new setting for the goaltender. You have a couple new players back there. New players in the bottom of the roster in your top, let's say, 9 to 12.
I don't like their D. I didn't have them in the playoffs. I don't like their D. I just don't think their D is good enough.
I think Ekblad is a guy who is a swing. We've all
got to prove it again, right?
Yeah, he's got to swing that way. And, you know, Yandel's a guy who gets 60 points. But
he's going to be great on the power 70, play. But
70 points against.
Yeah.
You know.
Matheson, they got.
Yeah, I don't think their D is a playoff caliber D.
Well,
now,
I think
they do something, but
right I think now. The coach who's most confident right now, probably Cassidy in Boston. I think Cooper still should be as well. I mean, now he's got Braden Point back. Tampa's going to be fine.
They've lost one game.
They've lost, yeah. Well, Tampa's they're 2-1-1.
Right.
Boston's 3-1.
Buffalo's feeling pretty sweet about themselves, right?
Yeah, but I think they need to. Yeah, they can't be overly confident yet. Right. I guess that's what I'm saying is in Toronto. You know, the last 3 games have not been ideal. It all started Saturday night with 15 minutes left in the third. You're up 4-1. If you close that, all of a sudden you can look at the St. Louis game and say,
they passed for that.
Played pretty well. They probably could have won that game. So be it. And then last night's it's a one-off. So be it. But because
you... Brian, everybody's watching to see what's going to happen in Toronto because it's essentially, it's an outlier model for the salary cap. I mean, you're paying 4 guys that play the same position 50% of the cap. You're playing 6 guys, 63% of the cap. So those guys have to be good every night. Like, it can't be like, it's not a balanced lineup and say, okay, well, you know, the third line. They're going to have contributions, but the big guys better be good every night.
Right.
I mean, they have to be.
And 2 of them have been. Matthews and Nylander have been very good.
Yeah.
Tavares, Marner, Riley have not.
The goalie hasn't been.
And the goalie hasn't either.
And you're just measuring them against themselves. I mean, what do you expect from Morgan Riley? He's gotten better every year. He's a veteran now. He's 7 years in the league. And he's consistent. Like, you don't look at him for wild swings like you did with Jake Gardner.
Right.
You just don't look for those swings. And right now, you're seeing those swings. Now, is he compensating for his partner? Is he trying to do too much?
I think it's a bunch of stuff, Pooley. I think he had a step last year where he was sniffing around. It's almost like he tried to win the Norris Trophy in five games.
First five this year.
Yeah, it's like, I want to get up the ice. I want to be involved. I want to get points. I want to score goals, as opposed to just being himself and letting it come to him.
Yeah, and it'll come back to him. When a guy's in the top five voting for the Norris, you know, first time you're in that major award voting, you go home that summer and you're like, okay, well, what do I have to do different now? Like, how am I going to, you know, how do I get in the top four, the top three, or how do I win a Norris?
Yeah. Right. But the other thing, too, is there is a little turnover with the coaching. Like, what
That's
are they
a lot of turnover. Well, not a little turnover.
But what are they telling him? That's the one thing I would say. Like, your defensive coach...
I don't think he needs to be told a whole lot.
No, but systematically. Like, what are they playing a little bit different? The defensive coach saying to him, now, I want you to jump into... I want you to be a little bit more proactive. I don't think they're... The rapport isn't there with a new coach as well. Whereas last year's coach, whether it was DJ or Jim Hiller, like, those guys would know him, and if he made a mistake, they probably would have felt a lot more confident going, Morgan, hey, come on. Like, we've talked about this, where when you have new coaches, you know, is Hakstol going over to him? Is McFarland going over to him and saying, Morgan, pull it together here? You know him for five games.
Well, very different system, too. They're not stretch passing 40 times a game.
Yeah.
Looking for short passes on breakouts, and that's a skill play. Now, it's fine to say look for a short pass. When he had that puck behind the net late in the second period against St. Louis, he had nowhere to go. He had no options. And he threw it out towards the blue line and gets knocked down. It's in his net in the last minute. But he had no options. You know, you can't just look at the defenseman and say, you got to make a pass there.
Right.
You're looking around saying, you know, it's the quarterback. It's like, where are my wide receivers?
Yeah.
They've all gone forward somewhere that I can't see them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, no, that's the truth. I mean, and
when
it's
when you narrow down that top, though, you better be good every night.
Yeah, the big
Simply
boys
better be.
Yeah, they're getting paid. They have to be. The way it works out, that's the way the cap system works. If you're going to get paid the most, you've got to perform to it. And quite frankly, if you really want to have success, you probably have to exceed your cap number. Mm-hmm. But that's just not even remotely realistic. Mitch Marner's not going to play like a $15 million player. He can't. Not capable of that. There's like five guys in the league that can do that.
Maybe one.
And so at most, you're getting equal value, which is basically...
So if you get equal
what
value...
What you got last year. With the points and the performance.
You essentially need 63% of your output from six players.
Yeah.
Now that includes a goalie. You've got to quantify the output. But you need 63% of your performance numbers from six players. Just pure math.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Well, it's a lot of pressure on those guys.
Because if you do go through a tough stretch, 1 week. Again,
everybody's going to, though, Jamie.
But that's what I'm saying. Right? It happens to just be a couple of the big boys right now that are still finding their way.
And if this happens in November, it's not as magnified as when it happens at the start of the year.
Yeah, right. It's like a baseball
When it happens at the start of the year, it's like, wow.
You start the season over 20, it is, you're like, am I going to the minors?
But if you do that in
game
late 100 July,
through 120, it's like, nah, whatever. Yeah, exactly.
And these are really good players. We're talking about really, really good players.
Right.
Yeah.
Dave Pullen, our hockey analyst in studio. Patrick Marleau with two last night. And
crazy.
What that said to me was load management. Like that, it just, he didn't have to play before.
But they don't have the luxury of saying, you know what, take a rest for a week. They are already in dire straits right now.
Right.
No, but him just, I thought it was great because the adrenaline would have been rolling. He was quite emotional. You see in his media, he was quite emotional getting the call from Doug Wilson and stuff.
You think it's been taken away from you like that and you get it back?
Yeah, there was some hunger in his game. Yeah, which is nice. I mean, you know, would you call it that he ended here poorly?
Like, no, it was just...
I think he did his job for the most part. He didn't rely on Patrick Marleau to...
They gave him that extra year, Jamie, and everybody involved probably knew the extra year wasn't going to happen.
Right. including him.
That was the only way to get him here, was that extra year.
Which, in retrospect, clearly was a terrible decision.
No kidding. Kovalchuk, the extra year, his looked terrible awful from the first game he started.
Yeah. Right. Don't give me the in-the-room stuff either. I mean, it's dumb. It cost them a first-round pick for nothing.
The in-the-room stuff smart doesn't work if you can't play.
No right kidding.
You have to be able to play. You have to. And even if you're a fourth-line player, but a really good functional fourth-line player, then it's okay.
Right.
You know, like I think Nate Thompson's a good in-the-room guy for...
Kyle Clifford yeah in L.A., too.
But he's doing what he's always done. But yeah, he's not. He hasn't slipped to
Thompson's
that.
Thompson's not going to hurt your cap. He's no, not going to hurt.
He's going to win face-offs.
The one thing I say, like, I guess we can talk about it, but would you ask the $11 million players how big of an impact Patrick Marleau had on Austin and Mitch?
You know, I'll be pretty critical for those couple of years.
I would
he was
think
here
just a couple of years. Now, what does that mean? I don't know.
Here's but he was also playing pretty well.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he had 20. What did he have his first year here?
He had 27 goals.
Yeah, 27, and then it dropped to 15.
Yeah.
Like at $6 million, yeah, it didn't look great on 15. But what are they paying him? 700?
700 grand.
They're going to get probably 10 to 15 on him.
They got a win last night. That might have been worth it in itself.
Right.
Right now.
Well, if he's making 700, he'd still be on the fourth line here in Toronto.
You're right. Six sheets.
At 625.
Right.
Obviously, it wasn't compatible. It wasn't going to work. And those guys all think the world of him, but they didn't take discounts so he could stick around.
I was just going to say, that was the one thing that
they didn't care that much.
They could have kept Nazem Kadri at 425 instead of Kerfoot at 325 if each one of those guys would have taken 500 grand less.
Right.
Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews.
Yeah, but the problem with that is you don't get to decide where the team spends the money.
I agree.
That's the problem.
I'm not saying
that. Then they might have said, we're going to go in this direction and we're going to get somebody else.
I'm not saying Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews cost Nazem Kadri his job here. I'm just saying, like,
philosophically,
exactly. Like, it's $1 million difference between the two players. But that was one of the things that we talked about coming into the season last year. Nobody's built like the Leafs down the middle. You know, there's that strength down the middle on that. Yeah, Kerfoot's a nice player. He's not Kadri. Like, you know, but Kadri, you had to treat him like a third liner here, not a second liner where he is in Colorado, because he played like a third liner last year. He had 16 goals. He was a scarecrow on the power play, too. Where their
power
play,
a decoy. Nothing. Yeah, it never went through.
Now where their power play actually has a little bit of movement and trigger guy in the slot if you want to work it there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Patrick Laine with a big night last night. What's your expectation? End of the year.
You know what? I think he could have a monster year, but we always thought that.
Right.
You know, there's a reason he signed a 2-year deal. There's a reason he signed the 1-2-year deal out of that entire group, is because not only does he not know exactly what he is, but the team doesn't know exactly what he is. And there was a fear factor there. This could cost them dearly. And it wouldn't surprise if he put 60 up.
But you hope that he does, because that translates to success for the Jets.
No question.
Like, you're willing to pay that money if you thought he was a double-digit player anyways. You're like, okay, go earn it. The one thing I look at him, he looks lighter and leaner.
He does. He looks like he's moving better.
Right. He looks like he's actually getting to places where...
Yeah, I like the way the Jets have, like, you know what? Go play with these two guys, and you say you want to play with them.
How about that pass from Scheifele?
Oh, and Scheifele was like, if you get open like that, I will put that on your tape every time when I cross the blue line, like, and it's party time.
Did the issue with him, with those two guys originally, like, go back 2 years, he never skated in straight lines. And Kyle Connor goes in straight lines, and Kyle Connor was the first one on the forecheck. So they knew every single time Connor was going to be the first one on the forecheck. Laine wasn't going to be the first one on the forecheck. He simply wasn't. Now maybe he's a better all-round player now, and he's adjusted a little bit.
Yeah.
But he likes to go east-west, and Blake Wheeler's going north-south. I mean, he's going that way.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, it was as simple as Kyle Connor fit better there. It wasn't that they didn't want to play Laine there. He just fit better.
Yep.
All right, Pooley. Good seeing you, man.
Okay, guys. Always a pleasure.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving weekend.
Should be a beauty.
You know what? Spending 30-plus years in the States, and you guys both live there, it is the most festive week of the year, Thanksgiving week.
In the States.
It's the best
holiday.
It's 10 times
bigger than Christmas there.
It's a week.
Yeah.
Canada, they're like, happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's a Monday.
Grab a turkey.
Creeps up on you.
Oh, it's a Thursday down there, but it really starts the weekend before.
Yeah.
Because everybody blows off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I've said it for 100 years. The best bar night is the Wednesday night, because everybody's home from out of town. There's different sights and scenes.
What's Raleigh like on a Wednesday night Thanksgiving?
Having the time of his life.
It is the biggest college party night, but the college kids are partying in their hometowns.
Yeah, they're back home. That's exactly
what I'm talking about.
Yeah. 22-year-old O-Dog with a million sheets in the bank.
Having the time of his life.
All right, Pooley. Good seeing you, man.
Have a good weekend.
Party like an American this weekend.
Yeah.
This is Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst.